I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang. We welcome Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. The subject, Oceania, the Indo-Pacific, the contest between the People's Republic of China and the United States about influence peddling and domination on the island sovereign states of Oceania. The three in question immediately, Palau, the Federated States of Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands. All three are involved in what is known as the Compacts of Free Association. They are independent states, but the U.S. provides security. The complication here is updating the agreements, having to do with the obligation of the United States for the nuclear weapon testing of the 40s and 50s. Cleo, I've gone as far as I can. This is a very complicated story. You follow it carefully. You're teaching me. Right now, the presenting issue is the State Department is hesitating about continuing the obligation the U.S. has towards the Marshalls and this whole region because of the nuclear weapons. What is the status at the State Department of this agreement? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So each of the three countries has its own complicated but important story. We'll focus just on Marshall Islands, as you say. So a State Department is continuing its commitment. There are these compacts of free association that have ongoing defense access for the U.S., where the U.S. has access to the air, sea, and land of all three countries, including strategic denial. They can tell the governments to block the access of other countries. And that's what gives the U.S. freedom of operation from essentially Hawaii to the Philippines. It's incredibly important resupply corridor, freedom line that goes to the first and second island chains. That part of the agreement doesn't expire, but the funding and the federal services agreement with the Marshalls expires has to be renewed every 20 years. And it just so happens that they expired on October 30th, at the same time as we had the crisis in Congress.
This
whole thing has got my head spinning. It's really kind of unbelievable. So as of October 31st, technically they would have expired. So the continuing resolution in the case of the Marshall Islands does include a provision to extend what are called the federal authorities, because without that, the federal aviation would have expired. The banking insurance would have expired. All of these things that underpin the economies would have expired. So those are now continued, which is a very good thing. However, their funding hasn't. So they're now going to have to dip into their trust fund to fund just their basic government functioning. And this is leading up to an election that they're going to have in November. So for those that want to say the U.S. government is an unreliable partner, and there are a lot of them on the ground, many in the pay of the PRC or thinking they're going to benefit in some way from closer relations with Beijing, this is a huge political warfare win for China. And remember, this is a country that recognizes Taiwan, has the Kwajalein Ronald Reagan Missile Defense Test Site, very key for U.S. Defense architecture, and in part because of the continuing resolution, but also in part because of this stalemate over the negotiations themselves around, as you mentioned, nuclear compensation. We've handed a huge win to the Chinese, and we'll see how it plays out in the election.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, Beijing must be watching this very closely, as you suggest. Has Beijing been active in influence operations in these three states?
So we'll talk just about, yes, in all three, but just in Marshall's, they tried, two Chinese who bought Marshallese citizenship tried to set up a country within a country in the Marshall Islands, a place called Rongelap, and were, came within a single vote in their parliament of setting up essentially a zone where they would have controlled immigration and customs. They were selling it as a Hong Kong type situation. Those two were found, pled guilty in New York. This is a long story, so I'm just condensing it, to bribing Marshallese officials. And one of them is still serving their time. The other one served her time, and then the U.S. deported her back to the Marshall Islands in the spring. So she's walking around a free woman in the Marshall Islands, somebody who's been found guilty of bribing Marshallese officials. I understand that the FBI has now given information to the Attorney General in the Marshalls that might help him do some prosecutions of the local officials. But as it now stands, the person who bribed them and the people who were bribed are still running around free leading up to this election in November.
Cleo, Representative Radowagen mentions that as a child, she remembers her father, who was Marshall's, an executive in the government and the Marshall's, telling her or relating the stories about children born with multiple cancers because of the atomic bomb testing between 46 and 54. The American people know about that, Cleo? What happened?
So, I think Congresswoman Radowagen is American, and I think the American Pacific Islanders do, but I think the vast majority don't. There were 67 nuclear tests that are equivalent detonations of one Hiroshima every day for 20 years in terms of tonnage. The effects are long lasting. Congresswoman Radowagen has been very eloquent, passionate about the commitments that the U.S. made to the region at the time that have been left unfulfilled. And the nub of the Marshall Islands and the U.S. have not concluded the renewal of the arrangement, this 20-year cycle arrangement, in part because the U.S. is saying, we're going to give you $700 million, but you can't use it for nuclear compensation, because there's some in the State Department who think that will open the U.S. up for more liability. There are other legal experts who have been very involved in this, including on the U.S. side, who think that that's a misinterpretation of the law. And so it's come down to this very pitched legal battle that is blocking the U.S. from doing what Congresswoman Radowagen and many others think is not only morally necessary, but legally necessary, which is just to apologize and to allow the money to be used to help the families individually that have suffered through this. And in order to kind of get around, this is how contorted it's become, in order to get around these individual payouts, one of the proposals that's now being floated is the universal basic income for all Marshall Islanders, so that there's a payout to every single Marshall Islanders. So you can't say that it was just the people who suffered from nuclear that got a payout. This situation has become very contorted, distorted, and is deeply affecting our relations, or the U.S.'s relations, with one of its most important allies and long-term friends.
Cleo Pascal is a fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,